Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, love to hear from you here this afternoon. Our toll-free telephone line, 888-677-9673 is up and running. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Let's open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air again today. Father, watch over us. Lord, bless the program. Help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. Help us to be able to uphold your word. And Lord, just pray that you help people to see that the word of God makes sense, that it's an intelligent book given from an intelligent God, to be received by an intelligent mind that can understand. Lord, just pray that you would give understanding to people and turn people to Christ. We pray for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you here on the program this afternoon, and talking with Pastor Lutz as he left the studio here. And I'll tell you, I think the program was about ready to start. We were still talking. He was talking about the situation there in Lakewood. So do pray for them. And I can remember a similar situation in Richfield years ago, before my wife and I went to the mission field in the Samoan Islands. Our church was looking for a place to meet, and we moved into a particular rental building at the time, and we had to get permission, zoning variance, to go in there. And there was one individual in the community who voiced the opinion, that's the last thing this community needs is another church. Even though we'd been in the community for at that point years and years and years, over 10, 15 years, I think, at that time. And we looked at the number of churches versus the number of bars that were in our community, and realized that the bars far outnumbered the churches, and he'd have been more than happy to have had another bar open in the community. Sometimes you got to take a stand. So certainly pray for Pastor Lutz. I want to thank him for allowing me to fill in for him last week, and certainly glad to be back with you again this week. And also, you might have noticed, recently I've been able to be on the air with evangelist Bruce Musselman. He has a program every Thursday right here on AM 1220, The Word, and his program is Where is God's Word? It's from 3 o'clock until 4 o'clock every Thursday afternoon, and he asked me to come and help out a little bit, so I'm on there at the moment, and well, not right now, but I'll be on there again next Thursday and on an ongoing basis, and so pray for me that I can be a help to him, and pray for the program there. But of course, here we are this afternoon, live with Pastor Al, and like I said, our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. You can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Certainly invite you to visit our Bible study tonight. We'll be meeting at 7 o'clock this evening, and an informal Bible study. We have refreshments, and basically the idea is that if you've got questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, that's what we do at our Bible study. Basically the same thing we do here on the radio on Friday afternoons and Sunday nights from 11 till midnight, the same station, and we just let you bring your questions in. Somebody asked one time, well, what will you do if somebody asks a question that you don't know the answer? And I said, well, I make up something that sounds good. No, that's that's not what we do. No, we try to look into the Bible and try to figure it out and try to see what God's Word has to say. And my philosophy is if God's Word is truth, which the Bible claims to be, the Bible is truth, it is God's truth recorded in a fashion that we as human beings can see it, read it, and understand it. And And if it's true, it can withstand questioning. And everything that I've ever seen that somebody's come up with was a supposed contradiction or problem has been basically taken care of by putting things in context, realizing that people misinterpreted things or took things out of context, certainly. And generally speaking, there are some things in the Bible that are a little harder to understand than others, and the things that you have to think about, and the things that you have to pray about, and things you have to meditate on a bit. But I found out all these years of studying the Bible over 30 years that God always provides an answer. So shouldn't be afraid of questions. If somebody tells you you can't ask questions, it ought to be a red flag. Well, with that in mind, I was going to share a couple of things here today, and I got a stack of things I was looking at here this afternoon, and I do like to talk about things that are happening around us and things happening in the world of science, things happening in the world of politics and current events, all those sorts of things, and how they relate to the Bible, because I believe God wants us to think intelligently about what's happening in the world around us. And with that in mind, I was kind of intrigued by a headline that I saw recently. It was an article that said, "Scientists create first living organism from artificial DNA." And now, that sounds pretty interesting. It sounds like just what they said, that scientists put together artificial DNA, and they zapped it with something, maybe like Frankenstein zapping his creation with the lightning bolts, and they started saying, "It's alive, it's alive," and they created the first living organism from artificial DNA. Well, here's the problem with that. The headline is a little misleading. I'll scratch that. It's a lot misleading. The headline should have read, "Scientists modify existing organism with artificial DNA." And here's the point. They try to imply that they've created life. And this is kind of the holy grail among biologists, that they're going to create life, because they believe that if they can spend a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort into creating life, that'll prove that life can happen by chance with no intelligence at all. And it's an effort to disprove God and disprove the Bible that says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And when you, and of course, beyond that, that he created all the life forms that are here in this world. But basically, what they did, and part of what they did really is a very interesting thing, and it is a milestone in genetic engineering. DNA molecules that are inside of every cell in your body have a structure that uses what they call base pairs. And there's A, T, C, and G. These are the letters that make up the alphabet that the code in your genes are written in your DNA, that tells the DNA and tells a cell then from the instructions from the DNA how to build a new cell, how to build a new organism. And it's these four letters, A, T, C, and G. They stand for various bases. And beyond that, in the DNA molecule, it's a spiral helix. And if you look at it, think of a ladder, just a regular ladder, not a step ladder, but a regular ladder with two sides and then the rungs going up the middle. And then if you held the bottom of the ladder and somebody held the top of the ladder, and let's say that the ladder was made out of aluminum instead of wood so it doesn't break, and you started twisting so that you bent the metal, and you twisted, you turn it clockwise and the other guy turns it the other way so that the ladder twists into a spiral shape, okay? Now, if you can picture that, that's a picture of a DNA molecule, very rough picture of one, and the rungs on the ladder that connect the two sides of the DNA molecule, those rungs would be composed of these bases, the A, T, C, and G. Now, one would be on one side and the other would be on the other side to make what they call the base pairs. And so, for instance, if on the left-hand side of the ladder, you had the base pair A, and then on the right-hand side of the ladder, you could have the base pair, the base T, and that would form a base pair A and then T. Now, A always combines with T, and T always combines with A. And then likewise, the other two, C and G, C always combines with G, and G always combines with C. You never get an A combining with a G or a T combining with a C or something like that. Always A to T and C to G. So you only have these two base pairs available with these four letters A, T, C, and G. And I'm trying to simplify this without going into all the chemical names and everything. But what happened is these scientists, they built on over 15 years of work. Now, this is again to show that all this could happen by chance with no intelligent design and no intelligent intervention. They got an E. coli bacterium. You ever hear when you see the recalls on salads or something like that because they're contaminated with E. coli and people get sick? Well, E. coli is a very common bacterium, and they took an existing E. coli bacterium, and they came up with two new DNA bases to make a pair, a new base pair, two molecules. And here we don't have A, T, C, and G. We have the first one called D5SICS and the second one called DNAM. We don't need to get into all the details, but we'll just call it for short D5 and DN. Well, D5 only joins to DN, just like A only joins to T and C only joins to G and all the way through. And they were able to successfully splice in a base pair of D5 and DN into the E. coli DNA. And by overcoming, as they put it here, in fact, a quote from the article, after leaping through a series of highly complex technical problems, the study authors finally managed to pull off their goal, the fashioning of a half-synthetic organism that could actually replicate its unnatural self as long as the scientists continually supplied it with the necessary molecular material. In other words, through a great deal of effort and a lot of trial and error, and a lot of thought going into this, they got E. coli bacterium to successfully replicate itself and copy and replicate this artificial base pair of the D5 and the DN. And it only did that, though, as long as the scientists constantly tweaked the solution that it was living in to make sure it had the right stuff so that it could replicate and build those base pairs. All of that, of course, to prove that life could arise purely by chance with no intelligence involved, right? That seems to make sense. Again, all they did was modify an existing organism with an artificial DNA base pair. And while it's an amazing feat of genetic engineering that may have potential for some other things, good and bad, which I won't get into right now, it is hardly scientists creating the first living organism from artificial DNA. And, of course, it's trumpeted in the major media that way because people want to explain away God. They do not want God to be necessary for the origin of life in our universe. And that's a direct attack, as I said, on God and His Word, because we know from the Bible, Genesis 1, as I quoted earlier in chapter 1 and verse 1, where it said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And as we went down through there, it said specifically in verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed was in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself and after his kind. God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, in that seed was these DNA molecules, and God provided everything in this new earth to be able to provide the necessary chemicals, molecules, for that DNA to replicate and produce these, you know, allow these plants to be able to reproduce and produce more plants. And we see that still happening today. And then, of course, in Genesis 1 and verse number 20, it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And again, they were told to multiply and to fill the waters. And so the same thing. And then on the sixth day, the Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. Now, I read those because in each case it said, God saw that it was good. And that brings me to another article. And before I read the next article, let me remind you that you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Our phone is open. And if you've got a question about this or something else, a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you here this afternoon. And also remind you, we'll be talking about this more probably in depth tonight at our Bible study at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And that information will come up at the end of the program. And certainly want to thank East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza, and they're located across from the high school there in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road. And you can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100, located across from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. Give them a call, East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, getting back to what I'm talking about here, I found another article here, and this is amazing. This is a study funded by the National Science Foundation. In fact, the National Science Foundation supported this work with $2 million over the last 5 years. This is work is, well, it's going on. It started in 2010, and it's a five-year project, I guess. They got $2 million for this five-year project. And here's the interesting thing. The study found that survival may not always be about competition. And we're reading the Bible that God said it was good. God said it was good. One of Charles Darwin's aspects of his evolutionary theory is that closely related species will compete for food and other resources, and the more strongly or closely they're related, the more strongly they'll compete, and survival of the fittest. Somebody once observed nature is red in tooth and claw as a result of this, and it's the competition, and it's the death, and the all of this stuff that's going on, the predator-prey relationships, and all this that goes on, hardly good. And they did a study in freshwater green algae, and their study failed to support Darwin's hypothesis. In fact, Bradley Cardinal, an associate professor at the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources and Environment, said it was completely unexpected. We sat there banging our heads against the wall. Darwin's hypothesis has been with us for so long. How can it not be right? That's an interesting statement. And he went on to say here that the hypothesis is so intuitive that it was hard for us to give it up. But we were becoming more and more convinced that he wasn't right about the organisms we've been studying. He said it doesn't mean the hypothesis won't hold for other organisms, but it's enough that we want to get biologists to rethink the generality of Darwin's hypothesis. Guess what? We Christians have been saying that for a long time. I've got a biology degree, and I've been saying this for a long time. Biologists need to rethink Darwin and maybe look at the Bible. And the article here says the scientist did not set out to disprove Darwin, it went on saying, we went into it assuming Darwin to be right and expecting to come up with some real numbers, but we started coming up with numbers that showed he wasn't right. We were completely baffled. They ought to read the Bible. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tim calling in on the phone. And Tim, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Good afternoon. I wanted to call in yesterday when you were with Dr. Musselman, but
oh, yes, sir.
I thought maybe my question might aggravate him because I don't know how else to word it. But in Acts 12, verse 4,
okay,
the word Easter, I'm wondering if that was a translator error.
Oh, yeah. Give me just a moment here. I actually have something in my bag over here that I had looked at, and I was going to address that. And the verse in question, and we actually, Bruce Musselman and I had actually talked about maybe addressing this in line with a couple of other things here. The passage in question in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible says, and this is when Peter had been apprehended. It says, when he apprehended him, he put him in prison, meaning Herod apprehended Peter, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, here's the thing here, and I'll make this quick because we're coming down toward the end here, but the word there, Pascha, is almost invariably translated as Passover in the Bible. And the King James translators translate it as Easter here, not Passover. And they did it for a reason. And here's the reason. Look in verse 3. And this is why we always have to keep things in context. In verse 3, it says, and talking about when Herod doing these things, it says in verse 3, and because he saw that it saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now notice the parentheses here. Then were the days of unleavened bread.
Right.
The feast of unleavened bread took place after the Passover. The Passover was celebrated, then began the days of unleavened bread. What this is telling us is when Peter was imprisoned, it was after the Jewish Passover, and he was intended to be kept. Now, for a long time, I always taught that this was look at the pagan feast of Ishtar. However, I was doing some research into this, and there are some sites online, I don't have them in front of me right now, that shows from quotations from the first and second century that the same word Pascha that was used for Passover was adopted for or by the Christians, the early Christians, as a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he was our Passover lamb. And so even the word Easter had been used in the first couple of centuries referring to the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And so rather than being an error, the King James is the only version commonly available here in the English language that preserves the truth of the scripture. The other Bibles that change it to Passover violate the scripture, and they violate common sense. Passover doesn't happen after the days of unleavened bread. It happens before. So hope that helps you out.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for the question. And I want to thank everybody for listening today. And stay tuned. Certainly, Pastor Rusnacko's coming up next with a great message preached in his church, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. And if you've got questions about things such as Easter, just like our last caller, or wondering about creation and evolution, why don't you visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio? The information is coming up. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's